Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. We're glad that you are back with us. Last week was, of course, Mother's Day weekend, and we were off for that. So I'm hoping everybody had a great time, but I'm glad everybody's here. It looks like the whole crew is on right now. Everybody is there, even... Golly, everybody. So I'd like to say we like your input. If you want to join the show, all you got to do is call us at 646-668-8740. You give us a call, and wherever we're talking about, we'll let you in. What I want to start the show with today is the CDC came out and now have changed the guidelines on if you've been fully vaccinated. You had both shots if you had either Moderna or Pfizer, but if you had Johnson & Johnson, the one-shot thing, and it's past 10 days, then the CDC has said now that you can resume activities that you did prior to the pandemic. Fully vaccinated people can resume activities without wearing a mask or physical distancing except where required by federal, state, local, tribal, or territorial laws, rules, and regulations, including local fitness and workplace guidance. So what that means is if your job says you have to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask. But if it doesn't, then you don't have to wear a mask. Or if you're out in the restaurant and they don't have guidelines, you don't have to do it. So a lot of people are saying this is really crazy for the CDC to say that. So I'm getting thoughts from the panelists. Let me ask Ron, what are your thoughts on what the CDC has just put out there after all this time saying we have to wear a mask and be social distancing?
Yeah, I personally think it was too soon, because not even, from what I understand, not even 50% of the general population has been fully vaccinated yet. In fact, I think it's well below 50%, if I'm not mistaken. So somebody please correct me if I'm wrong. But, so we're definitely not anywhere near where all along the CDC and all the scientists had been saying that we needed to be to have herd immunity. So in other words, we don't have herd immunity yet. Now, I personally and selfishly, I feel protected because I've been fully vaccinated. And I have taken my mask off a little bit more liberally, especially outside. But I still wear my mask if I go indoors anywhere, even if they don't require it. But down here in Miami, actually, every indoor place that I've seen, except of course restaurants and bars, of course, still people are wearing the mask indoors. I understand that there were some national chains and some big ones, and I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but that have said that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask indoors. Now, there's going to be people. I mean, how do you police that? How do you know if somebody's really been fully vaccinated or not? Again, selfishly, I feel protected, but for those that haven't been vaccinated, it's a gamble, and like I said, we're not anywhere close to herd immunity, so I think, the good downward turn that we've been seeing in the number of cases and number of deaths, et cetera, could just as easily turn back around. I mean, look at what's happening in India. Of course, they don't have all the vaccinations that we do, but you never know with the variants what can happen. So I'm just going to continue to be careful as I can be. I feel a little bit more relaxed about it, but I know things can turn very quickly when you're dealing with viruses. So that's my take on it.
Right. All right. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts on this? The CDC saying you don't have to wear masks anymore if you've been fully vaccinated. And my other question is, how do you know you're around people that have been vaccinated? You don't get a stamp on your hand or anything that says you're vaccinated. What are your thoughts,
That's exactly right, David. You took the thoughts right out of my head. I agree a lot with what Ron said, that this just adds to confusion because we can debate about why they were so eager to put it out, but the fact that the message is out and not knowing, you know, you walk into a group, I'm a tiny bit more relaxed, but probably not even as much as you, Ron, where a lot of the stores here still saying they want you to wear a mask, but I think they're looking at the other way a little more casually if you don't. But I've seen a lot of our major stores here. There's still a lot of people inside. And if you're in a group, I would tend to wear one right now just because of the confusion. I think we need to know more definitively and more concrete, matter-of-factly, that further down the road with the COVID virus? Because as you said, David, I can stand around a group. I have no idea whether any of them have been vaccinated, partially vaccinated, or completely vaccinated. There's no way of telling. So it's more if I'm close with some people other than family, I'm going to wear a mask for a while yet, and I'll probably make a decision not to later on. But a lot of the places up here are still saying we want you. And they're citing local and state requirements here, not just federal, that they say that you must wear them. So, again, that just adds more to the confusion.
Right. I think you're right. But let me ask a question for what about you, Don? What are your thoughts?
I think that what has been said thus far is so on point. Ron and Bruce were right on point. I'm going to continue to wear my mask. I've been vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated, my wife and I. But I'm going to continue to wear my mask. Now, I want to add a twist to this. Companies are going to make it mandated that in order to work at their company, you must be vaccinated. And if you want to receive promotion, you must be vaccinated. We got a lot of things getting ready to happen with this process of getting to post-COVID. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're at post-COVID. So it's out there. We got choices. I think a lot of people really should go ahead and get the vaccination now because there's benefits to being vaccinated, and that's aimed at that younger generation. They are hell-bent on getting this vaccine. I don't know what it is, but we got problems with that younger generation. David, to be continued.
Right. Okay, so Soel, what are your thoughts on this not having to wear a mask as much as we did before put out by the CDC?
Well, first, I think that it's going to be interpreted the wrong way, and I think that some people are thinking that they're just going to be immune and not to wear their masks anymore, and that's not necessarily the case. If you're in an area with people who might have the COVID vaccine or might be infected, you are still somewhat susceptible to contracting COVID. And from the beginning, if this all could have been not has been as bad as it was, people had just stayed in their homes for like a week or two, the virus would have died down and nobody would have had to spread as bad as it was. And I think people are going to misinterpret things and people are going to go out there and probably it's going to start spreading because a lot of people aren't getting the vaccine purely out of stubbornness or out of fear or many other reasons. and the unvaccinated populace is still vulnerable to contract the virus.
Right. All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on wearing the mask? Do you believe that that's a good decision by the CDC or not?
It's long overdue. I mean, if we think about, if we really want to know the gist of the story, why the CDC came out with a change in the guidelines, because they got exposed for lying, for withholding information. There was a story that came out that the CDC had been putting out numbers that less than 10% of Americans infected got infected outdoors. Well, after doing some research, they found out that it was less than 0.01% of Americans got infected outdoors. So the CDC had grossly exaggerated those numbers. Now, technically, they didn't lie because they said less than 10%, and it was a lot less, a whole lot less than 10%. So they were being questioned and challenged on it because you finally had some reporters that were being journalists and actually investigating the research instead of just going with whatever the top headlines were for that day. And they saw that the CDC was deliberately lying about outdoor infections, the spread of infections outdoors. So there was never a need for us to wear a mask outside. There's definitely not a need to wear them now. And if you have been vaccinated, to me, this is only common sense. Like, what would be the purpose in getting a vaccination and still wearing the mask? I never really got that. And when having kids wear masks outside in school where there's absolutely zero, almost zero cases of kids getting infected outdoors, exercising under fresh air marks, like, there's absolutely zero incidences of that, but yet you're requiring them to wear masks as well. So I don't think the CDC has jumped the gun. I think they're late. It should have been done a long time ago. And they also realized that they were about to get exposed, so they jumped out ahead of the story.
Wow. All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
You know what? I got to kind of agree with Darius a little bit on this in regards to the CDC, but I'm going to go a little further. They've just been all over the place, not just the CDC, the entire government, on wear the mask, don't wear the mask, whatever, whatever. So I'm at a point in my life where I'm just going to make my own personal decision on what I think I should do and what those around me that I love should do. And I think I'm just going to wear the mask just to wear the mask, because over the last year, one thing I can say is that I have not gotten sick at all, not whatsoever. And I normally get sick once a year. It's common throughout my entire life that I'm going to get sick with a cold or a flu or something. Since I've been wearing that mask, I have not gotten sick at all. And it made me realize, I didn't think before, but now I really realize how simple and easy it is for someone else's germs to enter into my body and affect my body. I never thought about that before, but now after wearing this mask, I see how simple that is. So just for my own personal life, I'm just going to wear the mask anyway. So I think we're at a point in America where we need to just make up our own personal decisions on. If it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I think it's time we need to make personal decisions and stop relying and waiting on the government. So that's my answer.
All right. Wow. Okay, Spencer, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with Michael. Actually, I agree with everybody. You know, I'm fully vaccinated. But, you know, I still wear my mask. You know, if I happen to just hop out my car and forget it, you know, I'll either go back, or if I don't have one, you know, it doesn't matter. But usually if I just go, so I still wear my mask regardless. So that's just me. Like, you know, I'm fully vaccinated, but I still wear my mask because you can still catch it. I've seen people who are fully vaccinated and still caught it. So, you know. I still wear it regardless.
All right, guys. I'm going to move around the table asking you questions, but there are a couple of things I want to talk about before I do that. But I will do that. But I there are a couple of things. One is I want to talk about gas shortages and that thing. But before we do that, I want to talk about Asian discrimination in the United States. There seems to be a lot of discussion about Asian discrimination in the United States right now. And I know that we're always talking about discrimination in the United States. You know, the FBI and the DHS came out with a report that finds deaths at the hands of racially motivated violent extremists are on the rise in the U.S., but nobody is taking care of it. Nobody is working in that piece. And I do know that I never really thought about Asian Americans being discriminated against, because in my mind, they're always the ones that have these high-end degrees in technology and everything. And so, you know, they seem to be have worked their way. But I tell you what, why don't you, let's see, why don't you, Don, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that the Asian discrimination is for real. It really got intensified when this virus came on and we thought it was coming from China. It pulled the Band-Aid off of it. But discrimination among the Asian community has always been there. In fact, I forgot what it was, but the federal government paid that nationality quite a bit of money for discrimination. I can't recall what it was, but somebody can help me with that. The Asian community was paid a humongous amount of money. It's a real replica of how blacks were discriminated in this country. It's nothing new, David. The only thing is they were paid money and blacks were not paid money.
Well, one of the things that I think people don't remember is when the railroad was being put in, America went to Asia and got a lot of Asians and made them put in the railroad tracks across the United States. And that was a big to-do, which caused, my understanding, for a lot of Asians to go back to their countries. But I think this comment about in the United States right now, they're finding a lot of deaths. People are being killed because of discrimination across the United States. And that's something, you know, I hate to have to talk about, but I think it's something we have to deal with so that people don't have to have this pressure about, you know, I cannot be caught out, because a lot of these people are being put in good positions. Because one of the things that's going on is state lawmakers are overriding the will of the voters and making rules and laws on their own, especially in Georgia, as a matter of fact. I mean, the people voted on voters, but the governor came out and changed it and redid it. So our lawmakers are not listening to us and doing what they want to do. And so I think all this is all piling up together to explode eventually. Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Thanks for asking me, David. I have another take on this. I think recently, as you asked about the discrimination, the violent discrimination we're seeing now in their group, I think our approach has been our guard that used to hold us back. We may have had the same thoughts all along. Nobody knows that for sure unless you're in your own head. But this dropping of hesitation and out, you know, more anger actions if you see someone say, you know what, I don't like you, or I think you caused the COVID virus, I'm going to smack you upside the head, or whatever the case may be. I think because of that lowering of the the morals and the raising of the tension and the acting out of anger with aggression is a big cause of that. I think someone else said, Don might have said, maybe those thoughts have already always been there. We each have our own transgressions to deal with, but what's changing is it's more and more is being acted out with violence, where we didn't do that before, not as much. And it's almost like, you know, I'm going to look around. If no one's looking, I'm going to smack this this woman over the head, or I'm going to knock down this old lady, or I'm going to take on this guy, and whatever. And we didn't do that, not as much as and as aggressively as we are now. So I think that has a lot to do with it, and it's just drawing more and more attention to it. And if we don't stop that, if we don't turn that around and calm things down, it's only going to get worse.
Where do you think all this is coming from? This is something new, I think. It's not new, but the fact that people are able to think they can get away with it. Where is all this coming from? Ron, what are your thoughts?
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad you called on me, David. And Bruce, I couldn't agree more with what you said. And I'm going to take the bait, if that's what it was. I think, David, what you said, you know, that this is something recent, I think is right on. And I think partly former President Trump is to blame. And let me explain why I say that. The rhetoric that continues to come out from former President Trump that the election was stolen, that this was the biggest steal in the last 100 years, just even yesterday, I think I heard in the news he was still saying that. And he was, you know, all throughout the campaign, he was inciting people to act out their angers and their aggression, whatever, in a violent physical way. And I don't think anybody can deny that. I mean, all you have to do is go back and listen to his speeches and his political rallies, and you'll see it. You know, if you listen to him and you still don't believe it, then I don't know what you're listening to. But so I think that's part of it. I'm not going to say it's entirely that. I think we live in a society right now with all the stress that everybody's under with the virus and the lockdowns and this and that, the economy, the racial injustices, et cetera, that people are just acting out differently now. I mean, I find myself doing it too. I find myself at work being more aggressive and talking back to my supervisor, which is something that I, in the past, probably would have restrained myself a little bit more. But I'm tired of the BS, so to speak, and I'm just not taking it anymore. And I think it's the stress that everybody's under. But, you know, throughout the history of this country, and I don't want to get into the systemic racism and all that because we can debate that forever, but throughout the history of this country, you know, groups that are not like some people would like them to look have been discriminated against, and nobody can deny that either, whether it's the African Americans, the Chinese, the Mexicans, Hispanics in general, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a nationality. Gays have been discriminated against, you know. So it's just, I think, part of human nature, but I think it's all coming out now with a little more vengeance, so to speak.
Ron, he called it the Kung Flu virus.
There you go.
Well, and may I add something to what you said, Ron, is I wouldn't totally disagree that some of the inflammation is from Trump, but it's also from a lot from all sides, including a lot of the quote protests that weren't protests at all, that were just brawls and riots, that people see that and say, you know what? No holds barred. I can do whatever I want now. No one's going to stop me. They're putting a wet blanket over the police, and because they're saying they're all bad, which we know is not true. And as a result, they're saying I can do anything I want now. So, you know, there are multiple factors that are raising the temperature, and I agree with you on that.
Let me weigh in on that, David. There's something else that we're all missing. That's the reason for the hate with the Asian community, which I think is horrible. I hate to see that. And unfortunately, I hate to say as well that a lot of it does come from the African-American community. A lot of it is African. If you look at it, it's African-American young men attacking Asians. And I hate to say that about my community, but it is a fact. Now, Donald Trump lit the fuse. He did do that. But that time bomb has been sitting there for many, many, many years. Donald Trump didn't put the time bomb there. that time bomb has been a huge, huge conflict between the Asian community and the African American community that has gone on for years. And the only way you would have known about it is had you lived in the African American community. You ask anybody that has grown up in a black community, they'll tell you every liquor store on every corner is owned by an Asian person. Every store,
yeah.
Every business they do, they have to go interact with the Asian community every day. The Asian community supplies the black community with all their goods and services.
Hell
so that is, they've been beefing for years. Like, they didn't just start beefing. Donald Trump just lit the time bomb and allowed a lot of those young, ignorant, I'm going to call them ignorant, young African-American men started going around assaulting those Asians, which is a horrible idea and they shouldn't do. But I think we just need to start the conversation from the beginning. That time bomb has been there for a long time.
So you're saying, Michael,
David,
what,
wait,
okay. May I just ask one quick question to Michael? Michael, why are they angry at the Asians for just providing those services, or is it the way they provide it they get, they feel like they're being, attacked verbally or something?
They treat them horribly. I mean, look at, Google the name Latasha Harling. She was a 14-year-old girl that was shot in the head by an Asian woman because the Asian woman thought she was stealing out of her liquor store, corner store, and she was not. So they don't provide those services and sell those goods with a smile on their face. They do it in a horrible way, and they treat us like second-class citizens. They belittle us. They're rude to us. They won't even hand us the change in our hand. When we're changing the dollar bill, they'll set the change on the counter. They don't even want to touch us. So, no, it's not a good relationship at all. It's never been.
Hey, Bruce, you don't know that we used to own the hair care industry. Blacks used to own the hair care industry.
I think we lost Don. Don,
uh-oh.
You lost you.
In the black community. They've taken over industries and never put anything back. I mean, we could go on and on, but you have to be a part of that community to know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, Don, I have seen some of it, but obviously not living in the black community, I don't see it like Michael is saying or like you might say. I see it from a different perspective. But I have seen some of the coldness, but not, I didn't know it was, I guess I wasn't thinking it was that bad, but obviously it is based on what you're saying.
It's terrible.
It's really bad.
David, I wanted to chime in, man. I'm so glad that Michael said what he said, because I'm going to go play the lottery today, because I'm agreeing with Michael twice today, so I'm going to play the lottery on tomorrow. But no, what Michael said is absolutely true. The largest demographic that is inciting violence against the Asians is young black African Americans. And so, if we want to blame Donald Trump, we know that Donald Trump's largest following and the most influential people are young black African Americans. Give me a break, guys. We've got to be a little bit more original. Like, when are we going to stop with everything Donald Trump? This Asian conflict has been going on long before Donald Trump came in office. And as Michael said, if you shop in the African-American communities, you know that the Asian convenience stores, liquor stores, gas stations, hair shops are some of the most racist people. And I'm not painting a broad stroke of everybody, but I'm just saying those are really, really heated conflicts, and tension has been going on in that community for years because, like Don said, the Asians come in, they open these businesses, they take the African-American dollars, but they do not like African-Americans inherently. And it's not all their fault. I'm not saying it's all of them, because African-Americans have done some things in their stores in terms of robbing them and being disrespectful as well. So it's a thing. But it has nothing to do with Donald Trump inciting Asian violence. And in terms of the Hong Kong flu, there is great, great evidence that the coronavirus did come from China. And if he's stating that it was the China virus, there's nothing wrong or criminal or discriminatory about telling the truth. That's where the virus came from. Now, were people inspired maybe to act out against Asians because of that? Absolutely. But it's not Donald Trump's fault because he told the truth about where it came from. Ron said, go back and listen to his tapes, his speeches, his rallies. I listened to a lot of those rallies from beginning to end. I've never heard him say anything incendiary against Asian Americans. But Don pointed out something earlier about the Japanese receiving reparations, and he's right. It was the Japanese that received reparations a few years ago because of the internment camp that happened during World War II, which was ordered by the liberal great president that all liberals worship, FDR. So yeah, this has been going on since World War II. This is not a Donald Trump thing.
Hey, Darius.
Hey, real quick, I want to explain to you guys. Real quick. Hey, Darius, you guys, this is where the beef started. I've educated myself on that topic. The beef in that community started in 1982 when Ronald Reagan sanctioned. There's a bank, if you Google a bank called Hanmi Bank. Hanmi Bank is a South Korean bank that Ronald Reagan sanctioned. That he told that bank, you can lend money only if you open businesses in black communities. So if you ask any one of those Korean guys that we all speak of, where did they get their financing from to start that small business? They got it from a bank called Hanmi Bank, which was sanctioned by Ronald Reagan under the rule that they had to open businesses in the black community.
All right, guys.
Darius, I just want to correct one thing you said, Darius. I never said that Donald Trump incited violence against Asian people. What I said was that Donald Trump incited violence in general. I mean, I've heard him say many times, beat the crap out of the people. I've heard him say it myself.
Said, Ron. He said if one of these guys at the rally hit you, then, yeah, you should beat the crap out of them because people were leaving the rally getting beat up, pushed, shoved, egged by anti-Trump supporters outside of the rally. So let's tell the whole truth, Ron. There's violence, but let's look at where the violence was really coming from. Antifa guys were beating up old ladies as they exited Trump rallies. So he said, yeah, if they touch you, should beat the hell out of them.
All right, guys. Let me go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say, I'm not disagreeing, Darius. I just don't think that's a very presidential thing to do, you know, to get people to fight even more. But whatever.
All right, let's go to the young guy. Soel, what are your thoughts on the conversation we're having?
Well, with the virus and Asian discrimination, personally, I don't know much about it because I don't have a lot of Asian people where I live. Mostly have to go to Chinatown for that. I do think the rhetoric has caused a lot of people to be discriminatory towards Asian people. You know, I think calling it the China virus was a mistake. You know, you could have said the virus that originated from China, it's just going to propel things towards Asian people. You know, in the 60s when HIV was a big problem, you know, that they thought that just touching a black person, you would get HIV. And people like Strom Thurmond and Senator Russell, they said that, oh, you don't want the black people in your pool. They're going to give your kids HIV and or gonorrhea. And that also just relates to what's happening now. We have propelled this onto the Asian community to where people, especially stupid people, are going after Asian people, going after their businesses, deliberately targeting them. And it is really sad that this is going on in our country. And I think it's just stupid people, because normal people understand that viruses are part of biology and a part of just people coming together and just things that spread apart. And these idiots who are going after things truly do put a bad name on the United States.
All right. I want to bring that to a close. We'll talk more about that some other time, but there's so many other things going on. One is, Michael, I know that just recently that the Western Los Angeles is now doing more back of telling people to leave their places because of wildfire. They're doing evacuations all over L.A. again. You guys got another fire. What's going on there? I mean, you guys have fires all the time. Is L.A. really burning again?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately, and it's in the rich, rich part of town called the Palisades, where all the millionaires and billionaires live. So it's not good at all. The city's under a lot of smoke right now. So I don't really have an answer for that. I'm going to go with climate change, but, I mean, that's obviously the old answer. I don't have a solution to what's going on, and it's really scary to see my city burn like this, David. And it's not even fire season right now, and we got a huge fire out here. So
You always have fires. L.A. is California, not L.A., but California is known for fires all the time. Is this one another one they claimed that might have been set by somebody, or is it nature?
So it was arson. Yeah, they're saying this one was arson. But there's still high winds. The winds are really high right now. It's very windy out here.
Michael, okay. Why would somebody set something on fire like that on purpose? I don't understand that.
Well, Los Angeles County has 10 million people in it. That's a lot of people in one little county. So a lot of those people are not all there mentally. You got a lot of crazy people, a lot of mentally insane people here that do things like that just for fun, unfortunately.
You know, the world...
Hey, Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask Michael, since you're out there. You've heard inklings of the fact that there's kind of conflict, maybe is the word, between environmentalists and forest control people. You know, you hear a lot of times that there a lot of places aren't able to cut fire lines anymore or control burn or anything. Do you think that plays a big role or not?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of shrubbery out here that I would like to go burn down myself that just sits there for no reason. But, yeah, you got the environmentalists that are against that. So, yeah, Bruce, I definitely think that plays a huge part right there, problem right there.
You know, another thing is L.A. has always been considered health conscious, and people like to go camping and all those kinds of things, and they're not really prepared. They don't know how to build a fire and put it out. A lot of those things, because of the way L.A. is, lots of shrubbery and stuff there catches fire. There's a lot of that going on. All right, let's move on. I want to ask you guys what you want to talk about. I got some other things, but let's ask first. Darius, if you had what do you want to talk about today? What do you want the panel to listen to talk about?
I'd like to talk about everybody's thoughts on what's going on in Israel right now with the constant bombardment of rockets from the Palestinians and from the terrorist group, and our ability or inability or lack of ability to intervene. Is Joe Biden doing the right thing by staying out of it? And will he succumb to the calls of the far left radicals that are saying that Israel is the oppressor and it's their fault that, you know, they're being bombed and rockets being fired at them? And by the way, they admit to also receiving that from Iran, funding from Iran, who Joe Biden and Barack Obama, of course, were hell-bent on giving a deal to.
All right.
Can I weigh in on that?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one. Yeah, Darius, well, we're going to go ahead and disagree now. It's time to start the show, I guess. I totally think that Israel is the oppressor in this situation. I stand with the Palestinian people. Israel has been just killing babies and little kids and innocent women. This whole conflict started because they were trying to evict some Palestinian families off of some land that they've owned for generations. The state of Israel is just being very, very, very aggressive and very hard to the Palestinian people. And I know what it's like being a black person in America is equal to being a Palestinian in Israel right now. So I absolutely stand with the Palestinian people.
All right.
So you agree with terrorism then? Because that's what they're doing. And you say innocent kids. It's because the Palestinians shield their bomb sites with mosques and schools and hospitals. So when the Israelis fire back and they get hit, they say, oh, they killed our innocent babies and children. But nobody seems to care when Hamas will get on a school bus in Israel and blow themselves up, or, you know, enter a hospital and blow themselves up, killing mothers in a market, you know, shopping and kids. I mean, it's kind of rich to say that, oh, Israel is killing them when they're using them as human shields.
I like to weigh in on that, gentlemen. You know, we're talking about something that has been going on for thousands of years with Isaac and Ishmael. These type of wars between Isaac and Ishmael have been going on for thousands of years, and I don't think it will ever end. Let me ask this question.
No, neither. I agree.
Why don't Israel help or take over, assist them financially, and bring them under their regime?
The answer to that, Don, is because Israel has given up territory after territory, given settlement. That's not what they want. If you listen to Hamas, they say very clearly their goal is to wipe Israel off of the face of the earth. How can you sit there and how can you compromise with a group that wants your total extermination? How can you compromise in a situation like that?
Like I said, it's been going on for thousands of years, Darian. It's never going to end. It's been happening.
That's why I'm an atheist, because I always say that most wars have been fought over religion. You're absolutely right, Don. This has been going on for thousands of years. I don't think it'll end soon. But, Darius, my question to you is, why is it that the Israeli people are so aggressive? Why isn't Benjamin Netanyahu for a two-state solution? Why does he not want the Palestinians to have their own government to govern themselves on their own land? Why are they against that? Because they just want to oppress the Palestinian people. That's why.
The question was why, and I just gave the answer earlier. It's because every time Israel has signed a peace agreement, every time Israel has given up land, every time Israel has not only given land to the Palestinians but helped fund Palestinian settlements, they have kept the peace for a while, and then they renege, and then they start firing rockets either directly or by proxy through Iran-funded terrorist groups. So what I'm saying is there is no compromise there. The Palestinians don't want compromise. They want total annihilation of Israel. And Israel,
okay, where was the compromise when it came to moving the United States Embassy to Jerusalem? Where was the compromise there? They just aggressively disrespected the Palestinians and did that. So that just goes to show how aggressive they are. Where was the compromise there?
There was no compromise because Jerusalem is in Israel. Of course, that's not what the Palestinians want, but that land is in Jerusalem, and it's their capital. They've said it's been their capital all along. It's just been the United States and other countries that have been trying to appease the Palestinians by not putting it there. But all presidents have said, yeah, we're going to put the embassy there. Donald Trump was the only one that had the bravery to do it, the courage to do it.
That's why I feel that the United States needs to stay out of their mess.
Stay out of it.
We need to stay out of our mess, Darius. We need to learn how to run America, the United States of America.
And we treat Israel better than we treat Detroit, than Michigan. We still got kids in Flint who can't get water. We give much more love and respect to the state of Israel. Why don't we just make Israel the 51st state the way we treat it?
Donald, did I hear you say America first?
America first, Bruce.
Oh,
America
right.
First.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes, oh, my
sir.
God.
That's unbelievable.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Let me back up a little bit. Let's bring that one to a close in. But let's go to the young guy. Soel, I don't think I've ever asked you first. What are your thoughts? What do you want to talk about this week?
Trying to think of something.
let's jump over to Ron Staten. Ron, what do you want to talk about? And then we'll come back to Soel.
Okay, I just want to talk about, bring it back domestically again, the conversation, and talk about infrastructure and where we are with all of that. I haven't heard anything else in the news. I don't know if anybody has, but I want to ask, and maybe I did this already, so please forgive me if I have dementia and forgot that I asked this already, but I want to ask Bruce and Darius, because both of you are, you know, leaning toward Republican. I'm not going to say, you know, 100% Republican, but leaning more toward the Republican way of thinking. And the Republicans are the ones that are saying that President Biden's infrastructure bill is just there's way too many things in there that they don't think are infrastructure, or, you know, it's too much money. So and they're opposed to taxing, you know, the biggest corporations and the wealthiest Americans. Where would you guys get the money to pay for? I mean, no, I don't think anybody can disagree that our infrastructure needs help. I mean, I just went over a bridge today in Hollywood, Florida, and I was I actually was embarrassed to go over that bridge. And I'm like, oh, my God, this bridge is in the United States of America. Unbelievable. I felt like it was going to crumble while I was going over it and fall in the water. So how do you propose to pay, Bruce, for all the infrastructure changes that need to happen?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me first. We have taken the word infrastructure that we all used to know what it meant, the real infrastructure, water, sewer, roads, utilities. And now the internet is a utility. I'll go with that as well. But they're using infrastructure to fill the basket with everything under the sun and call it infrastructure. For the life of me, these two groups and the one that started the all-encompassing definition of infrastructure, the Democrats, need to hone this down to what, let's call it, the traditional infrastructure. I think both parties and the public would love to see agreement and could get agreement on that. Let's start with that. Let's get that done. It could generate a ton of jobs. You know, we've gone over this conversation 10, 20 times before. The state of Michigan has done infrastructure bills at least a half a dozen times, and we still have terrible infrastructure. They gather up the money and then spend it someplace else. Truly hone in on traditional infrastructure, get support of both and the people, fund just that, get that done, get people back to work, then talk about these other things that I'm not saying they may not be important, but don't tag them with the line, oh, this is infrastructure. It's not. They're doing it because they know people will say nobody's against infrastructure, so they think they can get it passed. Well, let's not scam people that way. Let's do the traditional thing first and then go for the other things with its real title later or afterwards.
But if
I agree with you 100%, Bruce. Believe it or not, Michael agrees with Bruce. I think there's too much spending in that litter for social programs. I think they need to focus just on infrastructure. So I agree with you, Bruce.
Okay, but nobody's answering the question. Bruce, where would you get the money from?
Where's the money going?
Where would that? All right. First of all, I'm sure we can get some money that we already have, but the infrastructure, if we truly took, remember, we tried at least in this state and most states, gas taxes or taxes on certain utilities. If we truly knew, people, if they truly knew the tax that they earmarked for that was actually, heaven forbid, actually going towards the utilities, they would approve it. But we constantly get, here's what we want to do, vote yes, here's how we're going to get the money, oops, the money disappears and goes someplace else. And that happens every too many states, too many national programs. So I don't think people would have a problem, Ron and Don, voting for some sort of a one-time tax or an increase in a tax with an end to it if they honestly knew that money was going to go to the utilities and get them done.
Bruce, let me ask you this. Hey, Bruce, what about the 1%?
that received a tax abatement over the past couple of years, do you think they would chip in?
What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not sure what you mean.
The 2017 Trump tax cut.
Thank you.
Trump, in 2017, Trump what?
The tax cut that Donald Trump passed in 2017 that gave all his rich friends a huge tax break. We're talking about
Thank
having
you.
Those guys kick in. You think they're with it?
Well, Thank no, you. Not only them. Everybody would. The tax breaks, just like the tax increases we're all going to feel now, even though President Biden said, oh, no, I'm not going to tax you. It's called inflation. Every single one of us is going to feel that tax. And so it works both ways. If someone needs to pay, as you call it, their fair share, but everybody would pay into it. And I think, again, people, I've had this happen on projects of mine. If they know the money is truly going to go for what it was intended to be and not a sleight of hand maneuver, they'll support it and they'll do what needs to be done to get it built. And that would get so many people to work as well.
Tax rate, what's wrong with bringing the corporate tax rate back to where it was for four decades during Democratic and Republican presidents? What's wrong
Thank
with that?
You. That question. I can answer that question, Ron. Since you did mention me in the initial question, what's wrong with bringing that back is you saw when Obama was in office, you saw a massive exodus of jobs leaving the United States. You saw people going all over the world because the tax rates were so high. So where is the money going to come from? I'll tell you where the money will come from. When you reopen up the economy and you increase marketability and market goods amongst consumers, anytime there has been a tax cut in America, that the donations to the Treasury has always increased because there's a freer flow of money. There's a big, big misnomer that if you take money from corporations that somehow we're going to enrich the U.S. Treasury, and it's not going to happen. It'll never happen because corporations do one or two things. They reduce their workforce, they move out of the country, or they increase their prices, which is a taxation on the consumers. Rich people
But the average
will
American
not
consumer... The average American consumer can't afford to pay for this because they're making $7.75 an hour. How can you live on that?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's talking about trickle-down economics. That doesn't work, Darius.
That's a lie that the average one makes $7.75 an hour. That's a lie.
That's not a lie. That's a fact. That's a fact.
That's not a fact. The average income of America is $50,000+ a year, not $7.75 an hour. That's a lie. That's not true. I don't know how long you guys have been watching CNN loops, but it's just not a fact. It's a very small percentage of people who make $7.75 an hour. Those are the initial entry jobs, mostly for teenagers, college students, and part-time workers. There's
hardly anybody
with a family.
I'm sorry, I got to bring this to a close because we're going to go into sports, and I want to make sure that we get there. All right, Spencer, are you there?
I am.
Okay, tell me, Spencer, the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame class was just released, and you see the players, Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, Ben Wallace, those are the only people that were moved into the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame. Don't you think we're missing some people?
Well, no, it was more people, you know, like Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant. It was class of 2020. I think everybody ran concurrent kind of because of COVID last year, but there was more people. Those were just the top rated players that everybody knows. You know, you got Val Ackerman. You got Ben Russell. He went in because of two championships as a coach. You got Tony Kukoc. You know, you got other people on the list that some I do know, some I don't. But it was other members also. Those were just the headliners of the inductees just for this year.
All right. What about playoffs? Tell me about the playoffs. What's going on?
Oh, man. The Lakers might not make the playoffs. I tell you that. But my Heat are making the playoffs this year. But today is actually the last day of the season. So a lot of teams are vying for position. Some teams are in. You know, some teams have got to play some play-in games. It's going to be very interesting to see, some of the play-in games between just seeding. You know, if the Lakers win tonight, they don't actually have to play in a tournament. But they have to win and the Trailblazers lose, then they won't have to play in a tournament. But if they lose or if the Trailblazers lose, then they will be a play-in team. So that's something new that they started this year with this whole play-in tournament between seeds 7 through 10. So it's interesting right now to see what's going to happen. You know, Golden State, I think they're like an 8 seed. They're going to be in the play-in tournament, but, you know, they're hot right now. Steph Curry, he's hot. He had 46 points tonight, scoring champ. So it's going to be interesting at least for the playoffs.
All right. What else? What about the horse that claimed that won the Preakness and was drugged, but now they're saying he wasn't? What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't do too much follow up on that. I know he did come in third place yesterday, and they stripped him of the title for the Kentucky Derby. So I know they had to do another test before he ran again yesterday. It looks like he passed, so I don't know if they're going to go back, because it says something about it's supposed to be inflammatory, but it has steroids. So, yeah, I'm waiting to see the outcome of that. But he did it yesterday, so maybe it didn't matter.
All right. Any other things in sports we need to know?
That's about it. You know, sports, it wasn't a lot that happened, really. The last 2 weeks, week and a half, so maybe next time will be a little more.
David,
I
want to ask Spencer.
Yes, go ahead.
Shoot.
Can I ask him, Spencer,
yes,
do you know the rules of hockey in the NHL?
No, I do not.
Why is it people of color, especially blacks, have not been introduced to hockey?
Just a cold sport?
The reason why I'm asking that,
you know,
is because I'm down here with the Florida Panthers, and they've asked our company to talk to them how they can be more influential in the black community.
That would be interesting.
They don't have ice skating. They don't have ice skating in the hood.
I'm about to say,
yeah,
that too. You know, don't have too many,
yeah, they do,
in the hood, without, you know, especially down in Florida. You know, it's nothing but football fields everywhere. You know, football fields, basketball courts. But I know it's a physical sport, but other than that, skating, cold, I think that was a factor. And it's just the outreach is not there. I guess I can put the outreach is not there as far as you don't have enough of ice skating rinks in the areas where you have a lot of black people, period. You know, they're putting basketball courts and football fields and even soccer fields, you know, instead of opening up an ice rink and actually going out, introducing these guys to it, hey, you know, or going to the basketball courts and why don't you try this and see if you like it. I don't think there's enough outreach out there for it.
Well, and what would happen if we had representation closer to population in football and basketball? That would be something, wouldn't it?
That would be something, but I don't know. You know, like I said, I don't like the cold period. I don't even like 60-something degrees here. So me going into an ice, I don't know. I don't even
it's
like
hard.
It. Yeah, it's hard.
Hey, David, in the light of sportsmanship and goodwill, may I finish with something? This is the last day of the week of police, National Police Week. And God bless and goodness for all the great police officers, men, women, black, white, and every other color under the rainbow, and give the ones that are bad strength enough to change.
All right, let's close out with, remember, tomorrow is the last day to file your taxes. So if you haven't filed your taxes, make sure you get them in tomorrow. We'll be back again next week, same time, same panel. Guys, you have a great week.
All right, bye,
you
everybody.
You too, guys. Have a good week,
have
guys.
Have a great week, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.